Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
I was actually sharing with the Lord, asking the Lord, what do you want me to share this evening? And I was actually woken up on the tail end. How many of you have been woke up on the tail end of your sleep, and all of a sudden you had like just a mini dream, or the Lord said something to you, spoke a statement to you, and that's awesome music. And that happened to me the other day, and I had been looking at some things about the Christmas story. We've heard a lot of things about the Christmas story. My wife mentioned something about, you know, the gifts the wise men bring. We're going to see a little bit of that this evening. But let me just tell you this. Number one, and it seems like I do this every year, it's kind of like the fine print of the message. Jesus was not born on Christmas. I hate to burst anybody's bubbles. He was born probably closer to March or end of March, April, was when he was actually born. But and also, there wasn't three wise men. Those individuals, they traveled in caravans of probably 50 to 100 people. So when they rolled into Bethlehem, there's a reason why the man they called Herod of the Herod family was in the whole city. It got their attention because 50 to 100 people rolled in a major caravan, and they weren't just carrying little tiny boxes. I realized this would run up the price of the nativity scenes. So they had to whittle it down, you know, but there was at least 50 to 100 of them, and they probably had boxes. They were probably the size of, I've heard one person say, probably close to the size of coffins full of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so much so that it literally funded Jesus and his family, not just when they went to Egypt, but it never tells you when it stopped. We put the 2 years on there just because it was 2 years before they found Jesus. But when they went, they got the gifts, they received the gifts from the caravan of the wise men. We call them wise men. And they immediately were told in a dream to go to Egypt and stay there until this individual that was in the Herod family, that was the ruling member of the Herod family, had passed. And because he was the one that, when he saw this major caravan rolling into town, he's like, hey, this is a threat to me. So he tried to play nice and say, hey, you know, why don't you guys let me know where he is so I can go worship him too? You know, and we know the story that God spoke to the caravan and said, don't go back the same way you came. Leave a different way. And then he told Joseph in a dream, it's time to get out of town. And so when they left, they were well financed. And when they came back, they were well financed. It never tells us when the material wealth ran out. We're the ones that kind of make that assumption. But we're going to see some things today, and I believe the Spirit of God wants you to see, you know, as a human being. Everybody say, I'm a human being. You got blood coursing through your veins, right? Yeah. Well, check your neighbor, make sure they do. You need to hear what God wants to tell you tonight, because maybe you haven't had this thought. But I'm going to read out of what they call the Passion Translation. And it starts off, we'll pick it up in Luke chapter 1, verse 27. It says, during the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary, living in Nazareth, a village in Galilee. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, grace to you, young woman, for our master is with you. And so you are anointed with great favor. Now you can imagine the shock that this girl, she's probably around 14, 15, 16 years of age, had, because the religious system was not telling her this. It's kind of like today. The system is not telling her this. And all of a sudden an angel of God shows up and says, oh, by the way, I want you to know that you have grace on your life, you have favor on your life, and you're anointed. Then it goes on to say in verse 30, but the angel reassured her, saying, do not yield to your fear. Because her reaction was one of fear. Because this was out of the ordinary. He said, don't yield to your fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you. There's another thing that the religious system wasn't telling her. And has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme, and he will be known as the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit. Now, one thing you need to understand here in this setting, before this took place, have you ever noticed in your Bible when you get to the end of the Old Testament, there's the what we call the book of Malachi, and then you turn the page and poof, there's the New Testament. So we kind of forget about the fact that when this happened, in our mind, we make a jump between what was the last thing that was said in Malachi over to all of a sudden now we're in the birth of Jesus. The challenge is there's at least a 400 to 405 year difference between what we read in Malachi and what you see in Matthew. Let me ask you a question. How old is the United States of America? Just give me a guess. 200 years. So let's say, were you here when it was founded? No. I wasn't either. Contrary to what I look like, I wasn't. Double that. That was the last time anybody had heard the voice of God. Can you imagine living for 400 years plus and you hear stories of your history of God speaking and God appearing and God doing, but yet in the last 400 years there's been nothing? To the place where what happened between the 400 years is you literally had... You remember Daniel? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? All those guys? Okay, well, we find out at that stage that that's really around the point where the 400 years started. Because Jerusalem was taken siege by the Babylonians. We would call them Iraqis today. It started in waves. Most of the people in Israel were taken captive out of Israel over into Iraq. And they were held captive there. And again, it was a multi-staged process to where they were relocated. So all of a sudden, all of these folks that once knew their culture, knew their language, knew their surroundings and their temple, and now they've got nothing. Now they're in a foreign land, foreign languages. Those folks with the foreign languages are mocking them. Paul brings that out in his letter to the Corinthians. But for 400 plus years, there's nothing. Daniel had dreams that scared him of what was to come in those 400 years. He found out that Persia was going to roll in and conquer Babylon. So you had your Persians, they did. They rolled in, they conquered Babylon, they took over. But interesting enough, Daniel and all of his friends, they were given favor at each season of their captivity, they were given favor by the ruling king. And it was during those times where Daniel, history tells us, and he goes by different names in secular history, but history tells us that those wise men that showed up, that caravan of wise men that showed up in the Persian, they had their roots in from Persia, and they actually literally were taught by the things that God had revealed to Daniel. Despite what culture today would try to tell people in those regions, they were very, very, very much a part of what Israel is today. God used them for that. Not to mention Esther and all that. But so here these wise men come into 400 years after the last person ever heard anything from God, and all of a sudden, now, angels start showing up to Elizabeth saying, hey, by the way, you're expecting. We had up to this point, we had had miracles of older folks bearing kids. Right? Remember Abraham and his wife? She wasn't a spring chicken. Okay, and then nor was he. And then here you have Elizabeth and Zechariah. They weren't spring chickens. But God said, you're going to have a son. But I want you to understand this and notice this, that up to this point, nothing like the birth of Jesus had ever taken place ever. So Gabriel shows up to Mary, Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And it says, Gabriel answered, the Spirit of holiness will fall upon you. He's talking to Mary. And the Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be called holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Everybody say the Son of God. He goes on to say in verse 36, what's more, your aged aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son, the barren one. She'd already had a nickname. She'd been barren so long, she already had a nickname. How'd you like to go through life with that kind of name? The barren one is now in her sixth month. Not one promise, notice verse 37, not one promise from God is empty of power, for with God there is no such thing as impossibility. Now, I will wager to say you probably have read, now maybe not this translation, but you have probably read verses that say nothing is impossible to God. Right? How many have read that verse? How many debate that? Don't raise your hand. Probably nobody. But God wants you to know something this evening, and if you don't get anything else, he wants you to get this. Gabriel said that not one promise from God is empty of power, for with God there is no such thing as impossibility. Now, do you think this angel is speaking from the realm he's most familiar with? So behind the scenes, you got Joseph. Now, Joseph has been powdered by the religious system. And Joseph is a good guy. But how many know, if you're powdered by a religious system, you tend to think a certain way? It's true even today. How many of you ever talked to somebody about something and they look at you, that's not my upbringing, that's not it? Well, you're just saying it's not it because that's just what you don't know. It doesn't mean it's not it. It just means you haven't been trained that way. You haven't seen that. So Joseph found out that Mary's pregnant. Now, they're not married yet. Problem. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. Mary had promised herself to Joseph to be his wife, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Her fiancé, Joseph, was a good man, full of integrity, and he didn't want to disgrace her. But notice there's a big but. But when he learned of her pregnancy, he secretly planned to break the engagement. And then the next verses go on to say that he literally had this debate going on in his head. How many of those know debate if you're not heavily influenced by the culture you're raised in? We've kind of given it a pass and say, well, you know, he loved her, so he went ahead and took her. He had a major debate here. In fact, this verse tells us that behind the scenes, he was seriously thinking about putting her aside. But he was torn because he didn't want to cause her disgrace, because it wasn't just going to cause her disgrace. They were going to have a rock concert on her. So you can see how he's torn, but he's still raised and pondered by that system. So he was seriously thinking about putting her aside. So much so that God had to show up to him in a dream. How many know when you're dreaming, you're a captive audience? So in the dream, it says, while he was debating with himself about what to do, he fell asleep and had a supernatural dream, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a clear light and said, Joseph, descendant of David, don't hesitate to take Mary into your home as your wife, because the power of the Holy Spirit has conceived a child in her womb, which had never happened before. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Savior, for he is destined to give his life to save his people from their sins. This happened so that what the Lord spoke through his prophet would come true. Listen, verse 23, a virgin will be pregnant. How many know that's an absolute miracle in itself? This had never happened before, ever. Again, we've had old folks get pregnant, have kids, but never somebody who's never known a man. See, we've kind of read over this, and we haven't realized that this one event, 400 years after the last thing God ever spoke, is ushering in a new era. A virgin will be pregnant, she'll be given birth to a son, and he will be known as Emmanuel. Everybody say Emmanuel. Now, our translations have always read, which means in the Hebrew, God with us. Some places it says God among us. But I like the Aramaic. The Aramaic says God became one of us. Everybody say that. God became one of us. Say it again. God became one of us. I don't ever want you to forget that statement. Now, here's a challenge with that statement. Because a religious system in the mind of a human being has a tendency to read that statement and say, why are you going to denigrate God? Bring him down to our level. You need to understand that that is nothing but natural man speaking, because God didn't see it that way. This is why we've missed probably the most important thing that God ever wanted to communicate in this message we call the Christmas story, in that God became one of us. What's the significance of that? It wasn't about the fact that he denigrated himself and came as a human. It was the fact that, you know, if the angel just said that there is no impossibility with God, and God became one of us, what does that mean for you? That means that God just fused his reality with your reality. At the right hand of God is a man, but it's not just any man. It is the man, Christ Jesus, which is a man, 100% man and 100% God. What does that do? It means that God's reality, God's possible, just became man's possibility. Everybody say that. God's possible has become man's possibility. Now say it like this. God's possible has become my possibility. See, understand this. For 400 years, the powers of darkness and the things that were trying to potter and mold and squeeze man into a certain way of thinking tried to tell him, this is the reality. These are your parameters, and this is what you can and can't do. This is what is and what cannot happen, what can and cannot happen. And when Jesus came into the scene, he came into the earth through a human being that had never known a man. It ushered in a brand new era that never left. This is the reason why if you speak to religious folks or just darkness in general will not acknowledge the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin. Because if he was, that makes him 100% man. If he was 100% man, that means that what God considers possible, which is everything, has now become man's possibility. It was never that way before. See, even now, I guarantee you, if we go into the recesses of our mind and we look at all of these things that we think are possible and what are not possible, we have allowed circumstances to potter what we say can and cannot happen. But you need to understand something, that the birth of Jesus into the earth through a woman, God longed to do that from before the foundation of the world, to fuse what he considered possible into what man was possible for man. Notice what happened when the shepherds were in their field. And Luke chapter 2 says this, that for today in Bethlehem the angels showed up. All of a sudden, here they are. Listen, 400 years, nothing. Nothing at all. No word from God, nothing at all. No prophet in the land, nothing. All of a sudden, they're out there minding their own business, watching these sheep. May have been the sheep for the sacrificial system in the temple. May have been the same place that David used to watch sheep. A lot of folks speculate. But they're out there watching their sheep, and all of a sudden, an angel shows up and says, today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He's the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miracle sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of clothes, lying in a feeding trough. Verse 13. Then all at once a vast number of glorious angels appeared. The very armies of heaven, they all praise God, singing glory to God in the highest realms of heaven. For there is peace and good hope given to the sons of men. Why was there good hope given to the sons of men? Because the possible of God has now become the possibility of man. Matthew chapter 2 says Jesus' birth. You have the Magi. We talked about this. A star that was never there. They were trained by the teachings of Daniel that when this star appeared, follow that star. That star was never in the sky before. They were very familiar with astronomy. They were very familiar. And this is a whole other message for another time. But every constellation up in the sky tells the story of the creation of man, the resurrection, the death, burial, resurrection, and the redemption of the human race. It's all up there. It's just been all renamed. Some of the images have even been changed. But it's all there. They knew all this. They knew this star. When this star appeared, they knew they were supposed to head out and follow the star. So they followed all the way to Bethlehem. They roll into town. They talk to Herod. The star disappears. They get ready to leave again, and it says the star reappeared. It reappeared, and they followed it. It went ahead of them and stopped directly over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were ecstatic, and they shouted with celebration with unrestrained joy. And it says, and when they came to the house, notice this is 2 years later. I know that your nativity scenes happen still in a stable, but The wise men didn't show up 2 years later. Because in the Greek New Testament, the boy they saw was a two-year-old boy, not a baby. They gave him their gifts. Joseph had the dream. Get out of town. They stayed in Egypt until they were told to come back, and then they relocated to Nazareth. They take the boy to the temple to dedicate the boy when they come back into town. And then in Luke 2:29, this individual who had already been told that he was going to live long enough to see the birth of the Messiah saw them, and he said, Lord and Master, I am your loving servant, and now I can die content, for your promise to me has been fulfilled. With my own eyes, I've seen your manifestation. Everybody say your manifestation. The Savior you sent into the world, he will be glory for your people Israel, and the revelation life for all people everywhere. What kind of revelation was he? Well, did you notice when Jesus grew up, 30 years old, did you notice what his message was? The kingdom of God is here. He'll be known as God became us. Well, when God became us, he brought his reality with him. And the possibility of God, the possible of God has become the possibility of man. Jesus would say things like in Matthew 19, he turned to his disciples and said, listen, do you understand how difficult it is for the rich to enter into the kingdom's realm? Now, he didn't say it's impossible for the rich to go to heaven. That's not what he said. He's saying it's impossible for those who trust in their substance to enter into a realm they can't see. He goes on to say, in fact, it's easier to stuff a heavy rope through the eye of a needle than it is for the wealthy to enter into God's kingdom realm. Of course, the disciples are stunned because they're thinking about their natural heads. Like, this is impossible. Verse 26, looking straight into their eyes. Everybody say, he looked straight into their eyes. He replied this. Now, he's speaking from the realm he's most familiar with. Which was what? The possible of God. He says, humanly speaking, no one, because no one can save himself. But what seems impossible to you is never impossible to God. So he's reiterating the fact that with God, just like the angel Gabriel at his birth, he's telling you in the realm that God exists, there is no impossibility. Mark quotes it like this in Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at him and said, with people it's impossible, but with God, God makes all things possible. Well, guess what? God became flesh and dwelt among men. And God became us. And when he became us, he made the possible of God become your possibility. This is why the birth of Jesus is so important. It's not a good story. I mean, it is a good story. But it's not just a good story. And this is the point that you will find contended through the forces of darkness and through religious teachings. They'll contend with the fact that he was a man. They'll keep trying to make him a God. They'll keep trying to make him a deity. They'll keep trying. But the Word of God says he laid down his deity, dependence on his deity, and became as a man and took on the Spirit of God on him like a human being, because he had to do that. He had to fuse the possible that was God's into the possibility that was man's. That one person did it. He says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, I promise you, this is Jesus when he's all grown up, I promise you, if you have faith inside of you no bigger than the size of a small mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move away from here, go over there, and you will see it move. There's nothing you couldn't do. What's he saying? He's simply saying, now what is faith? Hebrews says faith is the evidence of the unseen realm. Jesus is saying all you need is a glimpse of the possible of God. And if you act on that, nothing's impossible for you. Because the possible of God has now become the possibility of man. Notice this last statement, I'm done. Ooh, look at that, 2 minutes to spare. Now you understand why the Spirit of God wrote through Paul the Apostle to Galatians, the church in Galatia, who were chasing after the religious systems of man. And they were being wooed by a religious system, trying to pull them back into and define for them what was possible, what was not possible. Here's your boundaries. This is the way. This is what you can do. This is how you can live. This is what. And by the Spirit of God, he wrote this. He said, but when the time has fully come, and he was speaking about Jesus, he said, when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that they might receive the full rights of sons. Now, ladies, it's talking about you too. You know what the full right of a son is? Everybody say it. The possible of God has now become the possibility of man. Welcome to the Christmas story. Everybody stand up. I really want you to think about that, because as sure as you leave here, you get busy. I get it. You get busy and things happen, and influences would like nothing more than you to forget what you just heard. Folks, what you just heard is not religious. It's about the most farthest thing from it. But God is calling us into a relationship with Him. He waited thousands of years. He spoke the prophetic voices down through history. You could almost hear Him getting, chomping at the bit. There's a certain time I'm waiting for. He had to wait for the Persians to conquer or the Iranians to conquer the Iraqis. He had to wait for the Greeks to conquer the Persians or He had to wait for the Romans, who the Israelites turned to the Romans to help them get free from the Greeks, and they ended up being enslaved to the Romans. He waited all that time, and now He said, now is the time. And He sent His Son, because His Son was going to walk and demonstrate what a human being looks like living under an open heaven. And He did it for you. He did it for every human being that was to breathe from that point on. Because you were never designed to live under a heaven that's closed. Ever. You were designed to know what He knows, see what He sees, and say what He's saying. That is your DNA. The birth of Jesus made that possible. Why? One more time. Because the possible of God has become the possibility of man. Now we're going to sing this song and we'll be done. We're going to close. But I want you to think about what you just heard tonight. And I want you to, if you don't know God, if you feel like you're like one of those people that lived 400 years under a closed heaven, you need to understand right now the heavens are not closed. He's not mad. He's in the best mood He's ever been in, because His Son bought and paid for a place for you to sit right next to Him. The baby did that. And you can receive that connection right now. Say, Father, I just thank You for doing this for me. I thank You that nothing is impossible to me, because nothing's impossible to You. And I thank You for putting me in Your family. I thank You for securing my place seated next to You. You don't have to earn it. It has nothing to do with what you deserve. It has nothing to do with that at all. I'm not focusing on that at all. It has to do with the fact that He thinks you're the most amazing thing that He's ever breathed. And He saw you before the foundation of the world. And He wanted to secure your place and secure your connection to Him forever. And He did it. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.